sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
John.
And welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing a classic horror story. As always, John will give us the plot in
which
five
one?
Words.
Which one? Tell us. Which one? Tell us.
All of them.
Oh, yeah.
Every single one.
We're finally going to do the Puppet Master series like I've been wanting for decades.
Yeah. We'll give our first thoughts, go into deep spoiler analysis, but first we go back to TV Corner, reviewing season 2, episode 8, titled, what is it? Not Belly of the Beast. That is a mistake. Forest of the Trees. Forest for the Trees?
So we're reviewing the episode, Not Belly of the Beast. That is a mistake. Forest for the Trees.
Yeah. Cool. Not my, I wouldn't have done that title, but...
Got some super early aughts, late 90s emo fans writing this show, I guess.
Yeah.
Give it a paragraph title for the song.
Yeah. Forest for the Trees. Let's see. Exciting, interesting things happened. Do you want to just start with the way this episode ended? With Donna being tied up to the tree? And Randall... I guess they're going out there because Jim and Randall have convinced them, have made themselves paranoid and believe there has to be somebody on the inside. And Randall is picking Donna because Donna has been kind of been the one he's had the most issues with or combative with about there, out there since he moved, he got there. So the idea, I think, is that they're going to tie Donna to the tree to see what happens, because he suspects Donna is living amongst them. She's helping whatever it is there.
I am kind of on his side. I think they're trying to paint this guy like he's... I'm probably going to use the word paint a lot. paint okay. This guy as like the antagonist, like the new antagonist, like who's alive, I suppose, for the series, but I have a feeling they're also going to spin it and he's going to be right.
That but one of no them, one of them is a part of whatever he like the experiment or whatever the fuck, why they're being held there.
If not a few of them. Yeah.
I feel like that makes the most sense. And Donna would be the one to suspect, even though there are things to dismiss it, only because she's been there longer than Boyd, and she was hiding. They have flashback scenes of her like hiding with the other people before Boyd found the talisman. So there are some like contrary things to it, but
I'm wondering if she knew exactly where to hide too.
Sure, she's not dead. So,
and nobody that's been with her has died in front of her, like that we're aware of. I guess. I feel like there's like these crumbs that they give you, like, oh no, she's too good of an actor to like not also be a bad guy on the show, I think, is the issue.
Yeah, that would be a good twist. Just somebody helping. Whatever the fuck is whatever the situation is. Honestly, I think that they don't even know what this thing is. You know, like they're having a hard time.
Which is like slowly turning into this like Stranger Things-esque type of like just a nod to a bunch of different horror movies.
Right.
The cicada thing, you know, like there's random cicadas now that every time they start to hear them, they freak out, but they won't call them cicadas for I don't know what reason, but they definitely are, right?
No, yeah, yeah, they definitely are, and I think people have called them that as well.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, they haven't called them chicharas, so I'm just assuming.
Chicharas, there you go. Yeah, cicadas, yeah. Yeah, because Kenny, everyone's starting to have nightmares, right? So Kenny had a nightmare and was bit on the arm, and then when he woke up, he was bitten there.
Or was like it turned into like a burn or something?
That's right. Turned into something like that. I forgot the
kind of weird
sequence. Well, yeah, it's kind of like Freddy Krueger, right? Like fucking dreams are coming out into the reality.
And you think everybody's fine except does anybody die? I don't think anybody dies in this episode.
I don't think anybody dies. Yeah, this is I think they're going to try out that theory because of the vial they made, and they kind of told Donna as well about the creature they killed.
Right. Yeah, and I still have my doubts about this whole vial thing.
Yeah.
Like it was, I guess, because it was only liquid that was still there inside of the body, right? But I don't know. Yeah, what's her name is still pregnant. I don't know if I care about that storyline, to be honest.
I don't care about that storyline. Because clearly one of them is going to die. Clearly one of them is going to die. It's painted so obviously in that direction. The other thing we learned was Tabitha got Victor to remember that he had a sister and that there was some sort of tower. They were taking all the kids. Is that right?
The kids that what? Here we go again. Just another episode. That the mom wife, you know, the mom wife that is married to the dad husband.
Tabitha.
That Tabitha has been seeing like the ghostly looking figures.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I think they're associated. Pretty sure they are. So this episode we get that Victor has a sister. Yeah, is what you're saying.
Yes, he remembers he had a sister, that she was the one that drew, right? Is that right? And that Victor...
Yes, because... because that the character played by the actor who is son, you know the son?
Right.
Or the mother and father that are husband and wife?
Yeah.
So son, who is also a younger brother to the older sister. These are all the characters.
Yeah.
Has what? Like, pulls up this, like, crayon sort of. It's like a red crayon that's also got a face, and it's like a.
Oh, yeah, it was in his jacket or some shit. Yeah.
And that happened to be the toy for Victor's sister, I think. That's why he started freaking out.
Yeah.
So they're all starting to remember stuff, too. Elgin. Look at this. I remember all the fucking new people's names. Randall, Elgin. Anyway. Elgin starts to remember why he started thinking about stuff or whatever, right? Do you have more information about that?
He's like, that this is why. He is trying to remember, but maybe in the next episode he remembers. Not that we've seen the next episode yet. You have to,
I thought they hinted at something, and I was like, I'm not paying attention. There's certain moments where I start to check out. I hate to say it, but every time, just I'm so bad with things. I could open up the IMDb. I just don't want the doctor or like the medical field couple that are kind of insufferable. Every time they have something pop up, I'm like, I don't. They're just like, don't pay attention. And then people start saying things interesting, and I'm like, I look up like, oh shit, what did I miss?
Yeah.
And then that is Flame again. And in case you're keeping up with that drama, there are a handful of months in the year, specifically summer, when I start to get a bunch of fruit flies, but it's not just me. It's, I think, the entire neighborhood. I'm pretty good about it, but once I see one, it's just like I get like bloodlust in my eyes. Also a vegan, so there you go.
There you go.
Good vegan. I mean, they're mostly fruit, very little fly, so it's not my, it's not on me. Anyway, yeah, so, and what have we learned about these vampire things? Nothing.
Very little. Yeah.
We're just learning that there's other stuff. I think they did. Boyd is recalling his conversation with the dude in the that was chained in the dungeon or whatever it was.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think they're all starting to come to terms with the fact that there's more than just these things out there. There's like a bunch of stuff that's out to like kill them or like make things difficult. I think right. That's what I'm starting to gather over the like the last couple of episodes. So I don't know. Like this show could either go on forever, which would be very frustrating. Because right now it feels like they're getting somewhere close and it's just not happening.
I did appreciate Jim and Randall's like descent into a paranoia, right, about the place. Start questioning everything. I think that as we've watched the show, we've kind of just accepted whatever we've led to believe about it. And it was a fun scene that they just kind of were kind of pulling apart, pulling the strings about like what it is that could be what we already know about this place, which is kind of interesting. But a lot of things about the show is kind of like, it's a little like, things are happening, but not in any kind of significant pace, which leads me to believe a lot of this is like, they don't know what this show is quite yet. What the mystery is, no direction.
Oh, would you say they're kind of lost?
No, lost that direction, which is why people like that show. It's just it's literally like the reaction to Lost and all the shows that spun out of it after it that didn't quite have as much, you know, figured out or written down or like conceptualized, that they just were like, weird stuff happens. We'll figure it out as we go, you know? A copy of a copy is always going to be more or less than the next. And unfortunately, I think that like From is kind of starting to like show its hand a bit on what the mysteries are. Even though there are some like really like good characters and it's like good, fair enoughly written and directed episodes. I mean, they're not like, not terrible or boring to.
No, they're not boring. I wouldn't say that. You're right. Some acting is questionable, but yeah.
Well, there's some good actors. There's some decent actors, but there's some really good actors. There's some decent actors and there's that lesbian couple. So,
the kid too, the kid kind of sucks, but it's not his fault. It's just,
he's a kid. Yeah. All right.
I guess we got more. We get more. What's her name? Sarah Lee or what's her name?
Right. Yeah. Sarah. You're right about that. It is Sarah.
Sarah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I guess not much. I'm just saying she's there.
She's not. She's here.
Not being like. Like willfully ignored for an entire episode like she was like, what was it, last or two episodes ago, where it was just like, she's there.
I think this
everybody knows she's there, nobody's talking about her.
I think this she's talking to the mom, she talks to the Asian mom.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Yeah. And then Kenny gets all like, stay away from my mom or something. I don't remember the exact conversation. And she's still hiding out at the church.
Oh, and now I think everybody's officially afraid of the ballerina box, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Seems to be tied to the cicadas. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so it seems like every time the cicadas happen or the ballerina box happens, something bad happens right after.
Yeah, that's when Elgin was getting drowned by a poorly designed ghost. Yeah.
Yeah, like a chapel weight vampire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Pretty decent. Not, again, I think you're right. I think they had really one explosive episode. And I guess they had to veer back a little bit.
They're like, Yellow Jackets did it. but yeah, that's that episode.
That is that episode.
I think I was briefly talking about this, but I think, in my opinion, this show would have done better if it was all released at once. And then you could just kind of binge watch it, because I think it'd be a lot more interesting that way.
Mm-hmm.
Not like we're watching it as they come out. I mean, we're, I think, like 2 weeks behind, right?
I think we're like a month behind, actually. Oh. We started Yellow Jackets, and this started at around the same time. So it was like coinciding. And that ran for like 9 weeks. And then we started watching this soon after. So it was already completing by the time we started it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I could see myself losing interest if I was trying to go week to week. Oh, maybe. That's not fair. I think in my head, I'm always like, oh, Harold Perrineau, though. So I'd probably watch it anyway.
Yeah, he's the best actor on the show. Yeah.
Yeah, like by far, like by leaps and bounds. That's because, what's her name? Oh, God, what the fuck? I don't know anybody's name.
Donna?
Donna. She's fucking great, too.
Right. Okay. We can move on. Move on to the main review. All right. Let's move on to the main review of A Classic Horror Story. John, do you want to give us a plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For A Classic Horror Story. Released in 2021, with a runtime of 1 hour, 35 minutes, rated for a mature audience, I have, coming in at number 3, When Life Actually Imitates Art.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. Not when art imitates life. Anyway, I'm coming in at number 2, Another Artist Getting Their Shot.
Ah, good one.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Yeah.
Watch the movie. It's really funny what I just said. And coming in at number 1 for A Classic Horror Story, Matt Berry impersonates Diego Luna.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm sorry, alrighty. Actor, whoever that is, but... I mean, you look exactly like Matt Berry, and you were acting exactly like Diego Luna.
All right. This is a Italian horror movie, which I was slightly annoyed. And I get slightly annoyed with Netflix because they immediately do the dub version. And no matter how much I dug around and could not find, you know, a... Italian version with just the subtitles. I tried for like 10 minutes and gave up and watched the dub version. So that might color some of my review because I hate dub versions.
That's fair.
Only because there's so much that.
Yeah, they for sure weren't syncing up very well either. Yeah, it was like
obvious. That's annoying, and I know that there are just like sayings and subtleties in the language that doesn't translate like 100%. So I'd rather they just like speak it and just whatever. And then the words are there. I can make some like context clues of it or whatever. So that's why I prefer I generally do prefer it just like acted in its own language, whether it's like Japanese, French, Italian movies, Spanish movies, anything like that.
Fucking like British movies, right?
Especially British movies. Yeah, so.
Need subtitles for those wanks.
Canadians. Yeah.
It's a bad time out here. I'm like, sure, let me turn some subtitles real quick. I thought it was an interesting film anyway. It's just, I think the farcical side of the movie, the whole notion behind it was also, I think, inadvertently what the movie was like anyway, if that makes sense. It's just like, I think they were trying to make a point, but in doing so, the movie became the point by accident.
Because
it wasn't as well executed as I think they wanted it to be.
I think there's a heavy emphasis on like meta horror. So there's a lot of like shots and visual cues from other movies that are in this, but there's like a meta text to this, meaning that it's kind of there on purpose, which I didn't quite find as clever, the sort of quote unquote ending of this, the twist of it, as other movies in this genre. So though I did like the movie had a lot of it had a good like feeling to it, the way it was shot and directed. I thought it was really solid.
Yeah.
And it definitely I guess what I'm saying is like, it was very moody. It had a very good mood to all the like set pieces and to some of the like shots and everything, like the cinematography and everything, I thought was really well done. But I guess what I mean by meta film is kind of like Cabin in the Woods without the tongue in cheekness of it. Does that make sense?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So you weren't sure. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Because you don't really know anything towards the end unless you're paying attention, because it's kind of obvious. But.
Right.
No, I agree. Yeah.
Because they're literally, when they arrive in the woods, quote unquote, they have their RV is there, and they come out and they literally do the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It's, shot following shot. And I immediately recognized it. And I was like, okay, well, they're doing that on purpose. So that means that there's definitely more going on than.
Yeah. A lot of it. Yeah. Like there's some Exorcist moments. There is like heavy Midsommar moments.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like after a while, I think you start to get it. I don't know. Yeah, there was just something about it that wasn't enough.
I think it's the idea isn't as clever or executed as well. That kind of was the sticking point for me.
And does it almost feel like a production budget thing, right? Like, I feel like it was almost there. I mean, I'm not going to discredit it. I don't think it's a bad movie at all. I'm just like it was almost a really, really fun movie.
The Village. Were you a fan of The Village?
I swear I've seen it twice and I never remember it. I remember the end.
I think it's actually a M. Night Shyamalan underappreciated movies. That I think that it's funny because that's the movie that got everybody kind of turn on him. But I felt like that wasn't. It's not as bad of a movie as I think people made it out to be. I think people were just ready to turn on him as a filmmaker.
No, because I didn't think that movie was bad. I just don't really remember it.
I see.
I do remember A Lady in the Water.
God,
I thought it was bad.
It was so bad, dude. Like, it's god awful.
And I remember watching that movie in theaters. I'm sorry, I know this isn't a review of a classic
movie. Lady in the Water, yeah.
I remember watching Lady in the Water in theaters and getting so irritated because maybe it was like the aspect ratio they decided for the release of theaters. I swear 60% of the time I saw the fucking boom bob up and down in the shot for like most of the film, and I just couldn't get over it. This is bad. And then when I rewatched it at home, like part of it, I was like, oh, they got rid of that, but I'm already like tainted. Like, I don't care.
Well, I mean, besides that like technical issue, like the story is just like so terrible and like indulgent, and M. Night Shyamalan paints himself as the Messiah and shit. That's gonna change human history with his words. Some shit like that. It's fucking terrible, dude. And he plays that character. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. It's a stupid movie.
Yeah. This movie's not that bad.
This movie is not that bad. There's some good stuff in it.
There's some like decent fun stuff for the most part. Yeah, it's not. Yeah,
I thought the lead was actually quite nice. Matilda Ingrid, she was pretty good. I liked her.
She was good. She was great.
Never seen her in anything. I've actually never seen any of these people before in anything. So,
Matt Berry? No,
not Matt. I don't know who that talking about.
Matt Berry.
Matt
Berry. You know he's Francisco Russo. I've never seen him in anything. And the quote unquote American people.
Yeah.
So cool little indie flick. A few things that bug me, but I think we have to go into spoilers so I can like really discuss that.
I think we gave our first thoughts. You just want to go to spoilers? I feel like that's kind of like talking about the ending will kind of.
Well, I mean, we could go into, they do a good job of painting Americans as Americans, which I thought was really funny. Because they all decide to go on this like ride share sort of deal. I'm like, how the fuck do you even find this deal? Because our main character, her mother is convincing her to go back home so she can have an abortion because she's can't afford a child for reasons.
I mean, let's be fair, nobody can. So,
I mean, some people can. Congratulations, Justin. I guess also because she's like a single mother, right?
Right.
I'm not sure if they really explained all that, but it doesn't matter. She goes, she's on her way back home, on this rideshare thing, which is some dude's RV, which is the guy I keep calling Matt Berry impersonating Diego Luna.
Right.
Who also, by the way, is very good. I keep like teasing the way he looks and the way he acts, but he was fun. He was fine. And then that's where like things get kind of weird. Like, I don't know, like these four, right? Four? One, two. Yeah. Four particular people decide to use this guy to go to a certain area of the world. Italy? I don't know. I kind of lost track of a lot of things.
I think it was Italy. It had to have been Italy, right? They're in Italy.
That's my assumption. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody spoke Italian.
Except for the people that are Americans that were clearly not from America. But
they were influencers or something, right? Like they did videos or something.
They're like, but also English at best.
yeah.
Like the dude is a real douchebag, and only because Matt Berry was like, hey, if you're thirsty, open up the fridge. There's a bunch of beer. So dude starts drinking. And then they all stop somewhere for a second and he takes over the wheel and refuses to leave. He's just going to drive off. So Matt Berry's like, I guess this is okay. After Matt Berry's like doing his little like live stream thing that he's saying is for like Instagram or something, but he's doing it all awkwardly.
Right. Yeah.
He keeps mentioning like, I just, more stuff. What else can you tell me about yourself? Because I want like, you know, the audience to like you. It's like, oh, okay. So are these people going to die? What's the point? Well, I mean, what's going on here?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, just painting Americans like Americans, because the dude is like, no, I'm not leaving this driving seat. I'm going to drive this RV. I'm drunk. He's like, okay. I guess so. You're American. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm like, fucking drag that guy by his fucking collar out of the fucking vehicle. Like it's. This is where things get a little muddy, in my opinion, is he's driving. He starts to doze off. The Matt Berry guy. Let me just get his real name so I can stop calling him Matt Berry. His name is Fabrizio. So Matt Berry wakes up also and sees that there's a carcass on the road and doesn't want to run over it, I guess, and like grabs the wheel and spins it because the dude fell asleep, and it runs straight into a tree. What you come to learn is all intentional. But the timing behind all that is like a little extreme. I know it's supposed to be a nod to another Ari Aster film called Hereditary. But I didn't understand how like Fabrizio also gets hurt in this whole thing, but he is also the mastermind behind where they go and what's going on and who's getting killed, right? That's what the spoiler is.
I don't know.
Wait, didn't we just say we're gonna? Oh wait.
Oh, so, we haven't technically.
That's my guess. What's your guess?
I'll tell you right now as we go into spoilers.
Wait! No! Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop, please. Stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. Spoilers.
Oh yeah!
Holy shit! It was him. Can't believe I called that. Because I don't know if you know this, but on the pod we talk about the film. We only watch 2/3 of the film, and then when we say we're going to go into spoilers, we watch the last third, and then we come back and talk about it. That's how we. It's 1,000,000% how this is
done. It's the easiest way for us to do that. Do the show.
Don't worry, we have so much free time. It's like we have so much time to do this. I mean, he's the mastermind because he is the director of a horror film.
He's trying to
by a random lady.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Produced by a random lady.
Yeah.
Who shows up for one scene?
Right. Yeah. He's creating a. It was described as like a snuff movie. Basically, like he kills people for real and he wants to. So he created this big, long, elaborated thing where he'd kidnap people and then murder them. And he has basically everybody that's there is in on it to produce his snuff movie for reasons. And
except for the people that were on the ride.
They were basically all the people he picked up. The four people he picked up all were not on the movie, if I'm correct.
And it also seems like this is not the first time he's tried to do this, right? I think they go into a forest and see a bunch of abandoned cars.
Right. Yeah. So basically, they supposedly got lost in the woods because the Americans, quote unquote, were crashed the van. With the find out that it was laced, so all the beers were laced with some kind of sleeping medication or something, right? And then they were able, because they fell asleep or whatever, they all got moved or transported to, quote unquote, the woods, which was kind of like like the woods, in that it's kind of like set up similar to the village, which is why I brought it up. It's like fenced off, wooded area, and they have, it's basically like a set, a controlled set.
Military base.
They refer to it as a
science.
Yeah. That it was a military base or something before, not to cross. Which I suspect was just put up to keep people out. Because there's a nearby beach for reasons. Yeah. And that makes sense.
Absurdly close to a beach.
Yeah.
Which I'm surprised this vast forest.
Oregon-looking forest was so close to a French-looking beach.
Not a palm tree in sight, like, just forest. Yeah, right, like, literally, I don't know. It looked like 6 meters away from a beach.
Pretty much, yeah. And they had setups, like, they would have air horns or, like, whatever go off, and then there's like large groups of people in mask, I guess, right? The masks were like I don't know, like woodland creatures.
Very like Wicker Man style.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Wicker Man. Yeah, that's a good example. Yeah. And they would catch him and execute him. So I did like the little twist about, so they go, when they get, they first get put there, they find the house or whatever. And in the house, there is a little girl that had her tongue cut out that is put into some sort of similar designed Midsummer.
Yeah, kind of like
hay,
like
statue.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Only to find out that she is one of, that was her brother. The director is her brother.
Her brother. Yeah.
Yeah.
So my assumption is the mother they're talking about was the producer that you meet for one scene.
Mm-hmm.
When they are all having dinner and all the villagers, quote unquote villagers, are like, which this didn't make any sense. I feel like they wrote this poorly, but she's like screaming and crying because she has her hands nailed to this chair, which is also very Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all start to mock her exactly like in Texas Chainsaw Massacre also. But so, the producer lady is there wearing like civilian clothes, but very pinstripey. So also something that even by LA standards, if you saw somebody wearing that, you'd be like, why? But
it's so hot.
You're Beetlejuicing over here.
She was Beetlejuicing really hard. So that's where the meta text of the movie comes in, because they're basically like ripping off other movies' plot points and stories, but doing it because amateur filmmaker, right? And an amateur filmmaker would just rip off whatever movies he likes. Not a very good amateur filmmaker would rip off other movies he likes. And so I guess that's why it kind of works like that. That way, you know, that it's, he's, all these shots are similar to other movies, but it's because this guy's a poor filmmaker and a crazy, crazy dude in general, you know?
Yeah. And he also fancies himself as original. And I think that was what you're piggybacking off of also, like just what he was saying. He fancied himself so original that he didn't realize that he's seriously is just ripping off all his favorite films.
And it's almost like, I feel like I've seen a movie similar to this where a filmmaker wants like the real thing. You know what I mean? And then he tries to shoot it that way. That's like, there's a lot of little stuff like that, but I think that's the, you know, the story they're trying to tell here, which I didn't find as clever.
No, I didn't either. What's kind of a bummer is like, I did enjoy this film.
It's
it's good. Yeah. I think it's good, but it's just one of those things like what we're trying to review and be like objective about it. It's like, well, it had a lot of problems. And I don't know like how to accentuate the good parts of it really. Like what are some of like the best moments of this film? It's just that it also takes itself very seriously, I think intentionally. And that's another missed point of the film, I think.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If they lightened up a little bit and made it a little more goofy.
Right.
I don't know. Like, I think if they did it kind of like censor, does that make sense? It would be a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Another. Right. Skeleton Boy's favorite that we reviewed back in the Stone Ages.
Stone Age.
Was that a 2020 film?
Like 2021 maybe? Or was it last year?
Which was 2022 because it is 2023.
It probably was. I don't remember.
And in case you're wondering, listeners, which are probably the same people we talk to all the time, if there's any new listeners, because you threaded at us, which is a booming social media. I got asked one time, like, well, how many episodes do you guys have? I'm like, fucking clue. 150 something, I think.
Yeah. We'll roll over 100. Yeah. 130 something. Yeah. Close to 40.
Which we got to include all the specials, right? So.
Oh, I don't know if that includes all the specials. I think they have their bonuses. So.
Yeah. So we didn't number.
So they're not numbered. So yeah, we're probably closer to 140. Yeah. Easy. Yeah. Is that a lot?
I mean, it's kind of a lot. That's a probably about 140 hours. So.
It's true. It's true.
But sometimes people are like, have you seen this movie? And I'm like, no, I don't think so. But let me check. I have seen that. Now I remember. It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this movie, like, I feel like it sounds like we were disappointed with it, but no, it's good. It really is good.
I was trying to explain what the movie was and how, like, not impressed I was, but there's actually a good movie, pretty decent movie. Like,
yeah, it's fun.
It's fun. It's good.
I think you're, the scary moments, right, where, like, people get dragged off and killed are pretty rad. They're pretty fun. They're really good. Cool. Like, there's a whole, like, a Silent Hill type of thing that happens where there's a siren that goes off. It immediately gets dark, and there's a red light that illuminates from the sky. And they take one person at a time to kill them. Or I guess there's one instance where they kill two people at once. But, like, the first guy who was the American dude whose legs were all fucked up, they drag him out of the vehicle. Mm-hmm. And they all have to watch in horror, and his girlfriend has to watch through a crack. Intentionally too, which is kind of interesting now that I think about it, through a crack on the floor, because she's being silenced by Fabrizio, right? I think, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, you're right.
So he's intentionally making her watch her boyfriend get brutally murdered after getting miseried. What's her name? The Kathy Bates character.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they, like, with a hammer, break his ankles sideways, and then have, like, a weird pulley system where they, like, crank down two spikes that go to his eyeballs, and then they stop for a moment, and then they just keep going and, like, kill him. I was like, man, that's fucking tense. So there's a lot of moments like that where, like, this is cool. This is a fun movie. But as far as the overall message, I was, not entirely impressed.
Right.
But the movie itself, I enjoyed.
Yeah, same. Yeah. Because I think there's a, like you said, like, a decent movie here. Only the sort of, there's also, like, this whole plot point that they're going to a place where the mafia started. Did you catch that? Like, it's kind of unimportant to the story. I'm sorry. It's not unimportant. It's more vague as to why they're talking about that. But my assumption now, after watching it, is that she might be part of the original crime families, which is who is sponsoring this movie, which I think is he's from there. So they made a big point of saying that.
Oh, and that's why she was wearing a pinstripe suit, which was kind of weird.
Right. Yeah. That's where I'm assuming where the money comes from is. From this, I don't know, like, there's, like, a cast of people who were sent to, I believe, what is it, the south of Italy? And famously, the south of Italy is where the mafia did start. Like, that's where we get, like, crime families and like, this. Like, for anybody who ever to go visit Italy, and I could be wrong about this, either, I don't forget that it's either south or north, but the south of Italy is where, like, all the crime is, where it's a little rough. It's like all the touristy stuff, I think, is north of Italy, like Naples and shit like that. People like to go to for tourism. So
right.
If you go anywhere further south, it's a little, like, you know, that's where, like, the crime is. And you see more of that side of Italy. Yeah.
I've never really delved into that. I do know that spaghetti is from Italy.
SpaghettiOs from Italy.
SpaghettiOs.
Chef Boyardee.
Their most famous chef, Boyardee, yeah.
Yeah.
There is a famous dish called pizza, which people enjoy eating. They have really spicy meatballs.
That little Italian restaurant, Olive Garden.
That's true.
Yeah.
Everybody's family.
Everybody's family there. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. They, I believe, according to their flag, they are a one-off of Mexico. I think Mexico came first, for sure, because it's got a little emblem in the middle. And then Italy was like, we're going to be another Mexico. So they got the same exact flag, just without the emblem.
You don't know their national anthem? Yeah. Bump, 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 bump. Yeah. It's good stuff.
Have you seen Jeopardy in Italy? No, it's pretty rad. Every time they're like, all right, what is your answer? And they have all this time to think. They're like, I don't know. And they're like, bum, 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 bum,
bum, bum, bum, bum, bum. Yeah.
Yeah. So, as you know, we're well versed in Italy.
Yeah.
If anybody was wondering.
Clearly, we should be the ones speaking about it. Yeah. Okay. do you have any other thoughts?
No, I love Italy.
I love Italy too.
People like come hang out with us. We'll be at the HorrorCon that's coming up soon.
What?
Now we got to do it. It's coming up very soon. By the way,
which one? I don't really know what you're talking about.
HorrorCon at the center. Anyway, we're going to be there. Come say hi. We'll have t-shirts made. Probably not.
yeah. T-shirts are a big business. You got to print them and do stuff.
It's the whole right before printing stuff where I'm like, no, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's all we have to say about it.
That's all we have to say. Okay. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need. Show us your sexy.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give a classic horror story 5.5 sexy spooky bones.
I do about the same. It was a 5 for me as well. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. Don't cancel me.